So grateful to you for this morning, and we thank you for another opportunity to hear the Word of God. Thank you for the Holy Spirit. May we be under the sweet influence of the Holy Spirit as we share and as we hear the Word of God. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, now July is the month of evangelism, amen. And we all are supposed to be winning a soul this month. I think I said that two Sundays ago, that everyone should make it their aim to win at least one soul to Christ in the whole of the month of July. Isn't that generous? Okay, so how many have won their soul already? Wow, nobody has. And this is, what's the date today? 20 what? Second, okay, so you have like 7 days, or July is 31 days, so you have about 9 more days. So 7 days, that's 1 week plus 2 bonus days to make sure that you bring your soul to Christ. I have already won mine, I've won 2, and I can actually, somebody wants me to give them one. Hallelujah. Amen. But I believe that all of us are able to win a soul to the Lord. Amen. Amen. This is why the Lord has saved us and left us here. Christ must have a very good reason why he will wash us in his precious blood and set us right back where he found us, which made it necessary for him to save us in the first place. It's like picking your something from the floor, cleaning it up, and putting it right back there. You must have a reason for doing that. Amen. You must have a very good reason for doing that. There is a very good reason why God has not taken us to heaven yet, even though heaven is a better place than earth. Isn't it? Even you don't want to go to heaven now, even though you believe that heaven is a better place. So if you believe that heaven has streets made of gold and so on, then why don't you want to go there? Do you see? Because over here, until Macy's does a sale, you don't even get a piece of gold to put in, around your neck. Hallelujah. Amen. Sandra, is it not true? Yeah. We wait for them to make a sale, and then we'll go and buy the gold and wear them around our necks. But there is a place where the Bible says the streets are made of gold. So over there, you can't feel good wearing gold. Do you understand? You can't be boastful. You can't feel high and mighty just because you're wearing 14 karat gold. Because the street you're standing on will be gold. Do you understand? Can you imagine if you met someone who was wearing asphalt earrings and the person is feeling very proud? Are you getting it? So we must have a very good reason for being here. Otherwise, it does not even make sense for you to continue to be here. And it does not make sense for you to want to remain alive here on earth when you have troubles, problems, temptations, evil stories. I mean, 2 or 3 days ago, we heard the story about the man who went to shoot some people in the movie theater. You get it? Now you can't even go to the movie theater in peace. Do you understand? In that darkness, as the music begins to play and the sound begins to come out, any evil can happen. Can you imagine that? Are we not better off in heaven? Yeah. So why is God leaving us here? There must be a reason. Hallelujah. And that reason is what he had in mind when he saved us. Hallelujah. The Bible says that we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God before ordained that we should walk in them. So God created us in Christ Jesus to do some particular good works. That is the reason why he has not taken us to heaven yet. Amen. Amen. So every Christian must be engaged in this good work, which is what supplies sense to your Christian life. It brings a lot of meaning to your Christian existence. and it allows you to grow in Christ. Hallelujah. So it's all tied to it, and we need to get involved with that. Amen. Now, today, I want to show you, I've been preaching about demons for some time, and I am not done with that message. Amen. But I want to take a break and share with you, just so that we can all fulfill this target of winning at least a soul to the Lord. Amen. Amen. So I want to share with you today how to lead someone to Christ. How's that? Right? Because I realize, you know, that many of us do not know what to tell people when we want to lead them to Christ. So we end up telling them or just inviting them to church. Do you understand? But a lot of the people that you meet will not be people you can invite to church, either because of where you meet them or even where they live. Do you see what I'm saying? If you're flying on a plane with someone, that person is going to Philadelphia. You are also going to Philadelphia. You sit next to the person, or you're even transiting somewhere and you meet someone. It's not likely that the person is going to come to your church because they may not even live in your city, you see. But you can still lead such a person to Christ. Hallelujah. So what God has sent us to do is to go and make disciples of all nations, to go and lead people to Christ, and then teach them also to observe the things he has taught us. Amen. But then, not everyone, or it is not in the case of everyone, that you would have the opportunity to share Christ with them and then also follow them up, or be the one that God will use to follow them up until they become disciples of Christ. Yeah. Hallelujah. Yeah. And so, in the few minutes that you meet someone, like the person I met him, or one of the people I met him in the bathroom of a McDonald's. Do you understand? Yeah, I met him in the bathroom of the McDonald's. And he had come in there to clean the place. Do you see? And we were leaving the bathroom to go and catch a plane, which we eventually missed. You get it? So I had a small window like that, small one. And this guy was actually wearing the drive-through headset. And as he came through, he was trying to do this quick clean in between orders. Do you understand? So the time was not much. But he had come in, and I thought, this guy, I don't know, I just felt inspired to lead this person to Christ. So I asked him, I think I asked him if he goes to church. And he said, sometimes. And I asked him, which church does he go to? He mentioned, you know, some church. So when he does, he goes to church over there. And then I asked him, do you go to church or do you know Christ? You know, and before he could answer, I asked him, are you saved? Because my time was running out. So I asked him, are you saved? Then he said, well, I said, have you asked Jesus to come into your life and be Lord over your life? And have you asked him to forgive your sins? He said, well, not in that way. Do you understand? So right there, I said, how about if we do it now? You see, then he said, I'm working. I said, but it won't take a long time. You know, he said, but I have the thing on, you know, and I said, you can just take it off for 2 seconds because it won't take a long time. You will receive him right now. Would you like to receive him as your Lord? He said, yes. So he just turned up the headset a little bit, turned up the microphone away. And then I led him in a prayer. The door was even open. So my foot was in the door like that because I don't like to touch the bathroom door. So I held a door like that with my foot, and he was standing right behind me. And then we said the sinner's prayer right there in just 3 or 4 minutes. And according to the Bible, by that sinner's prayer, if he said it in faith, he's saved. Do you understand? Now, the scripture says one person will plant and another person will water, but God will give the increase. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So what did I tell him is what I want to share with you. Hallelujah. When you are trying to lead someone to Christ, what are the essential things that you need to bring across to the person? Do you understand? What are the essential elements that a person needs to understand in order to be saved and to be saved properly. Can I have an amen? Amen. Now, the first thing you need to understand, first of all, is that if you want to lead people to Christ, you must lead people that God is already leading. Do you understand? People that God has already touched. And that is because of this verse in John chapter 6 and verse 44. Now, I'm going to give you quite a few verses, but I don't mean that when you meet someone and you're trying to share Christ with them, you need to rattle all these verses. Because if you do that, they'll run away before, or your time may actually run out. Do you understand? But I want to share these verses with you so that you can have a better understanding and a broader understanding of what you're trying to do. Hallelujah. And then you can pick the ones you can remember, or the salient ones as you're speaking to the person, or the ones that time allows you to share with him, so that you can lead the person to Christ. Can I have an amen? Amen. So the first one is John chapter 6 and verse 44. John chapter 6 and verse 44. This verse says that no one can come. Is the thing working today? Yeah. John chapter 6 and verse 44. This verse says, no one can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. Amen. He's saying, this is a quote from Jesus Christ himself. And he's saying that no one can come to him except the Father which has sent him draws him. Amen. So, you should know that there is no point trying to talk to people that the Father is not drawing. Hallelujah. That is why when you're setting out to evangelize, or when you're leaving your home in the morning and it is your intention to share Christ, and it must be your intention that if I have the opportunity today, I must share Christ with someone. Hallelujah. So, you need to pray and ask the Lord to lead you to people he's drawing. Can I have an amen? Amen? Ask the Lord to lead you to people he's drawing. The Lord should lead you to someone he's already working on. Because we are really not the ones who save people. Often, God has worked on them, and then we are the ones who just push the ball into the goalpost. Are you getting the picture? It's like God has dribbled all the players on the field, and now here's the pole, and you are here, and your job is just to push the ball into the goalpost. It's very simple like that. Hallelujah. So you need to find the people that God is leading. And that's a faith thing. Hallelujah. It's a faith thing. You have to pray that prayer sincerely and believe that God heard you, and that God will lead you to someone that he is already working on. And many times God is already working on people. The Holy Spirit descends on people and begins to soften their hearts. Sometimes through a series of experiences they've had during that week. Maybe a dream they had that particular night. Do you understand? Sometimes a fear they may have. You meet somebody who is already thinking and contemplating and wondering, what is life about? And the person is just wondering, so what are we here for? So is it just that we come into this world, go to school, get a job, you know, eat, sleep, eat, sleep, eat, sleep, eat, sleep, die. Is that what life is about? Do you understand? And sometimes you see that the Holy Spirit would lead people along such paths, and they will begin to think. You find someone who will suddenly begin to think, I need to include God in my life. You know, or that I wish I could go to church. Or the person would ask, why do people even go to church? You know, so these thoughts are in the person's head, and the Holy Spirit is already working on the person. Now, I can give you an example in Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8. In Acts chapter 8 and verse 26. Acts chapter 8. And let's see what's in verse 26. You found it. All right. So now, the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, arise. Watch this. The angel of the Lord spoke unto Philip, saying, arise, and go toward the south, unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem to Gaza, which is a desert. Now, so you can see how the Lord can even guide your paths. If you have prayed that God should lead you by His Spirit to someone that He is already working on, you can see how the Lord can direct even which way you go. Do you understand? That don't take this bus, take that bus. You know, sometimes you just have some feeling, I don't feel like going this way, I'll just go that way. Look, let me give you an example. When we left Toronto last Sunday, it was Sunday afternoon. We left Toronto, and then these brothers who were dropping us off at the airport in Buffalo, where we were catching our plane, they were driving us from Toronto into Buffalo to catch our plane. They insisted, first of all, one of them said, we're going to have lunch right next to the church where there was a Chinese restaurant. And then when he showed me the place, I just said, no, I want us to go and have lunch inside America. That means we should cross the border and I'll feel secure, you know, that I can see that the plane is right here. Then we can think about lunch. So we canceled that one. Then we came all the way near the border. He saw some eating places. He said, we can eat here. I said, no, let's go. Let's cross the border first. Then we crossed the border. It took us some time, but we crossed the border. When we did, then he suggested that now that we have crossed the border, I think we can find a place to eat. And I said, no, let's go to the airport. Let's get to the airport and then we can find a place where we can actually eat something, you know. So we go to the airport and we didn't see anything. But as we entered the airport and we were going, then I saw the McDonald's. You see, now, since I moved into California, I've stopped eating McDonald's. Since I was introduced to In-N-Out. You get it? The Lord forgive me, but I mean, that In-N-Out thing is something else. You know, so I don't have any temptation, even when I'm hungriest. I don't have any feelings at all for McDonald's. But what it is that I felt that those guys just wanted to hang out a little bit with us for the last time before we flew. So I was trying to give them a chance, so I thought. And I said, here is the McDonald's. We had even passed it slightly. And then the driver went, did a U-turn and came back to the McDonald's. And we sat there. Do you understand? Now, as it turned out, after this little boy, young boy, teenager was saved in that place, you know, I was even sad because I had missed the flight after that, you know. But later on, one of the brothers reminded me that, look, but that brother was saved. Could it be that that is the reason why the Lord led you to that place? Are you getting it? So the point I'm making is that if you look back now, you begin to think about it, you realize that's how the Lord leads people. Do you see what I'm saying? See here, this is the angel of the Lord speak to Philip saying, arise, go south towards the way that goeth down from Jerusalem to Gaza, which is a desert. So the Holy Spirit is actually guiding where he goes. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. And many times you imagine that maybe there's an actual angel, but the voice of the Holy Spirit is also just the feelings and the feeling that and instincts that you have many times. That do this, go this way, go that way. And you don't even know why you're going that way. Many times I feel like going home another way. Do you understand? This is the way to my house. But today I feel like going this way. Do you understand? And so I just start to go that way. And I follow such things because I don't know why I'm feeling that way. It could be the Lord leading me in that direction. Either guiding me or leading me away from something that I shouldn't be at. Do you understand? Or leading me to a place that he needs me to be at. Hallelujah. Amen. When you are a person of the Spirit, when you are a child of God, you should expect to hear God's voice many times. How many times do you think this Isabel hears her mother's voice in a day? Yeah. Do you understand? Yeah. But you do not hear her voice that often because you are not her child. Is it not the case? So if you say you are a child of God, you should expect that God will speak to you. You should expect that God will have a say in many of the things you do. You should expect that God will direct you and say, no, stop it, this way. All the things you tell your child, including some screamings. Can I have an amen? Are you understanding what I'm saying? Right. So the Holy Spirit led him to that place. Verse 27, quickly. He says, and what? And he arose and went, and behold, as if to say to his surprise, do you get it? A man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority under Candace, etc., etc., had come to Jerusalem to worship. And verse 28, he was returning and he was sitting in his chariot and he was reading Isaiah the prophet. Hallelujah. So this is an example of someone that God is already working on. Do you understand? It's not Philip who is telling him, turn your Bible to Isaiah the prophet. No. The Holy Spirit has already gone ahead of Philip and has prepared the man, has even showed him where to read. Do you understand? And now has brought the person to a place. Go on to the next verse, verse 29. He says, then the Spirit said to Philip, go near and join yourself to this chariot. Do you get it? Up to this point, Philip does not even know that the man is in the chariot, does not know what he's reading. But the Spirit says, join this chariot, like join this flight, or join this bus, or get on this train, or park your car here, or buy your bread from this shop. It's just an impression, but that is the Lord. Hallelujah. So he says, join thyself to this chariot. Many times the Lord has tried to get you to join a particular bus and you won't join it. Do you understand? You may reject it because you say it looks old, or because you think the seats are old, or it's too full. But the Lord may be impressing on your heart to join yourself to this chariot. Not that one, not the one before. You take the one before and you've missed it. You take the one after and you've missed it. You need to be on this one. Hallelujah. So he says, this chariot. So Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, understandest thou what thou readest? Do you understand that language? Pastor Munaya, can you please change this from understandest thou to do you understand? Hallelujah. But anyway, he said, understandest thou what thou readest? And what happened next? The next verse, verse 31. And he said, how can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. Do you see? So even the invitation or the openness that some people have towards us itself is a sign that God may be working on this person. Amen. Isn't it? Yeah. The fact that the person is prepared to open their door for you to come and sit down and talk with him about the Bible. Do you see? So he says, the man said, how could I unless someone guides me? And he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. Hallelujah. Verse 32. Now the passage of scripture which he was reading was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he does not open his mouth. Then in his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. Who will relate his generation? For his life is removed from the earth. Now the next one, verse 34. The eunuch answered Philip and said, please, tell me, of whom does the prophet say this? Of himself or of someone else? So you can see, now all by himself, the Holy Spirit has worked on this guy and brought him to a place of a question. Do you understand? And all of this is without you. You don't even know what is going on. Now, the guy looks like he's busy in traffic, riding in his chariot, and you're probably thinking all kinds of bad thoughts even about him. Now, there goes another cocaine smuggler. He's managed to buy one of these posh chariots, and he's just moving around. And you are just thinking, and you don't even know that as he's sitting in the chariot, the Holy Spirit is working on him and has brought him to a place of questioning and has one question or the other about God and his word. Amen. That is why we must never be afraid of approaching people. Because you don't know how far God has gone with them. Do you understand? You don't know how far, how many things in their lives God has managed to dribble past. You don't know that the ball is right there waiting for that last kick that will put it in the goalpost. Are you following what I'm saying? And I tell you, when God brings the ball to the goalpost and you kick it, it will go in, even if Derek is the one standing in front of it. Because the last time we put Derek in front of a goal, nobody could put the ball past him. I mean, the man just stands like this and then he fills the pole. You can't get the ball past him. I tell you. Oh, by the way, I met some people who were challenging us to a match. So, where's the captain? Akwete. So I told them, look, we have some guys. They're going to score you seven. I told them, we'll score them seven. So, and they said, oh, it's not a problem. So, they are from Sacramento. We should bring them on, right? Yeah, I know. We'll beat them squarely. You wait. So we'll fix the match. Akwete will talk about it after. Right. So anyway, can you see it? So it says that then Philip opened his mouth and beginning from the scripture. Of course, that's where the ball is. Do you understand? If they have brought the ball up to this place, that's where you go and kick it from. You don't go back and try to take the ball back to your pool and start again so you can look like you're some genius. Are you following what I'm saying? The Holy Ghost has worked on the ball up to this point. So that's where you go and you take the ball from there into the pool. You don't take the ball back all the way and get the person so complex and confused, and in the process you probably even lose the ball. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yeah. So you can see the Holy Spirit has worked on this person all by himself, and then he has guided Philip's steps to somebody who is already ripe and ready for a religious discussion. Someone who already has questions on his mind. Someone who is already reading the Bible. Philip didn't have to tell him, turn to Isaiah. But the person has already read Isaiah by himself and is now asking, you know, who is this person talking about? You know, has come to a place of questioning. And often the questions people have are a sign that God has been working on them. Can I have an amen? Amen. Hallelujah. So from that point, Philip opened his mouth and he preached Jesus to him. Can I have an amen? Amen. And you can see at the end, the Bible says, as they went along the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, look, water, what prevents me from being baptized? And then Philip said, well, if you believe with all your heart, you may. You see? And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. So what happened? Verse 38, and he ordered the chariot to stop, and they both went down into the water, Philip as well as the eunuch, and he baptized him. And verse 39, when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord snatched Philip away, and the eunuch no longer saw him, but went on his way rejoicing. Isn't that a beautiful salvation story? Yeah. Hallelujah! We must all pray that we have experiences like this. Because this is just a normal day for a normal Christian. Hallelujah. A normal day for a normal Christian brother who just got up one day and followed the leading of the Spirit to someone whom the Lord was already leading, or someone whom the Lord was already working on. Hallelujah. And there are many such people, people like that in our offices, people at the grocery stores, people in our school classrooms, people in the parks, in the sports parks, in so many places where our lives bring us. God has people there he's working on. We just need to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit, and we need to respond to the edgings and the nudgings of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit may be edging you and edging you on strongly towards a particular person, and we must not be afraid. Hallelujah. Amen. We must not be afraid, because we may not have to do much at all. That God hasn't sent you to go and explain who created the heavens or the earth. No, he just, the work has been done already. Just go and push it to the goalpost, and the person will be saved right there. Can I have an amen? Amen. Right. So now, when God gives you someone that he is working on, what are the other things, what are the main things that you want the person to know? What are the components of a good salvation message. What are the things that need to go into the foundation of a solid conversion? Hallelujah. Number one is that you need to help the person to understand that God loves him and has a plan for his life. Hallelujah. God loves him and has a plan for his life. Amen. Many people feel that God doesn't love them. Hallelujah. Many people whom the Holy Spirit is already convicting often interpret that conviction as a condemnation. Do you understand? The devil, his name is the accuser of the brethren. Do you understand? And when often God wants to bring people close to him, and God begins to convict them through his Spirit of their sins and of the need to come close to God, the enemy likes to come in and intercept that and try to give it a different meaning. Do you understand? So that the people rather feel accused, do you see, and cannot, their minds in that state cannot even support the thought of coming close to God at all. The person feels so bad, the person feels so useless, feels so distant, and feels like, you know, God could not even possibly be interested in them. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. Many times when people have committed crimes, and especially if somebody has taken one step further in the sort of sins that they are used to, there is a certain thing that comes over people when you do something you've never done before. You see, the one who has been doing it all the time does that same thing and he's cool. But when it's your first experience in that particular thing, you live with a certain guilt. Do you understand? Now, that guilt is an opportunity for the devil to condemn you and to tell you that, look, you are very bad. Are you thinking about going to church? Please, 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 please. Look at the people who go to church and you see that you don't look like them. Do you understand? Yeah. Sometimes you may have invited someone to church or something like that. And maybe the way you arrive in your suit or something. Look at Pastor Henry, the way he's dressed very sharply. Do you understand? I mean, when you look at him, you can easily feel that. You get it? Because you may be wearing your hoodie or something like that. And you see, the man is so put together, you look so apart. Hallelujah. So that condemnation or sense of condemnation needs to be fought. Hallelujah. And what fights it is an assurance of God's love. Can I have an amen? Amen. So God loves people and we must let them know it. And the verse that best says it is John chapter 3 and verse 16, which says, God so loved the world. For God, John chapter 3 and verse 16 and 17, it says, for God so loved the world, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Amen. Amen. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Hallelujah. So you can use this verse to explain to someone that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. You see, the fact that someone would give his only begotten Son for any reason at all, any reason at all, even if it wasn't for heaven, but he gave his only begotten Son for any reason at all, including to wash your car. You understand? It must mean something for someone to give his only begotten Son to do something for you. Hallelujah. So that is proof of love. Hallelujah. So you can show them that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that anyone who believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. Now verse 17 says that God did not send the Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world might be saved through him. Hallelujah. So this is the part of the verse that also deals directly with the condemnation. Okay? The King James says, God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. So you tell them that God is not trying to condemn you. You see, if God wanted to condemn anybody, he wouldn't need their permission to do so. Isn't it? Yeah, he wouldn't need their permission to do so. If God wanted to condemn people, he wouldn't have to tell them anything about it. He wouldn't have to write anybody a letter. He wouldn't have to send any preacher to tell them. I mean, you are condemned already, period. Hallelujah. God would not have to tell anybody anything of their about their condemnation at all. So if God is coming to you with love, if God is coming to you with a message of salvation, he's demonstrating his love towards you. And that's what you need to respond to. Can I have an amen? Amen. So that's the first thing you want to make sure that people understand. That God loves them. Hallelujah. That God loves them. God loves them. God loves them. God does not hate people. God loves people. No matter who they are, no matter how bad they are, you see, do not try to interpret God's love through your own limited perception of what love is. Do you see what I'm saying? Because we have limitations and difficulties. We can more easily accept certain people and find it more difficult to accept other people, isn't it? That is why as we go through life every day, we are judging and, you know, saying good person, bad person, good person, bad person, good person, bad person. So when a good person dresses well, then we are confused. Or when a bad person dresses well, then we don't know where to assign them. You understand? So we see you, you pierce your ears, you got a tattoo on your forehead, we go to the bad column. We see you, you're wearing a nice tie like Pastor Henry, we push you in the good column. You understand? We see you, you've shaved part of your hair and you've permed another half and you've braided the other half, we put you in the bad column. We see you, and we see you riding a motorbike, you look fierce and you look like you're a little serious, we put you in the bad column. You understand? We see you, your hair is all kept properly, everything is together, your car is washed, we put you in the good column. You see? So all day we are assigning good, bad, good, bad, good, bad, good, bad. But I tell you, that's not how God deals with people. We are not representing God well at all when we judge people and select people that way. Hallelujah. Amen. God's love is very deep. Amen. God's love is very deep. It can love the worst of sinners. Hallelujah. The worst of sinners, including the guy who shot the 14 or 13 people or so who have died in Colorado. God loves him even as it is. As I was watching this thing on the news yesterday, I realized I was getting angry. So I was thinking, what should be done to such a person? You know, and then I was even telling them, I think that such a person, he needs to be brought, you know, to the front of the homes of each of the victims. And then their parents or loved ones will be given a whip. You get it? And the guy should be stretched out and he should be given 6 lashes on his bare bottom by each of these people. And take him to the next house, and the next house, and the next house. You see, now that can only come from the heart of somebody who just feels the pain. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yeah, it's a limited human being, and it's a human feeling. Do you understand? That comes from a feeling, a natural feeling to get even. Do you understand? And to revenge and to sort of do something equally painful to the person. So that they can, it's just a human thing. But that's not how God is looking at it at all. Are you hearing what I'm saying? God can find love in him for such a person. And God can still believe that such a person can be saved. Look at the Apostle Paul. He killed so many Christians and God used him as one of the greatest preachers. Think about it. If you were looking for someone to preach your gospel, will you choose the one who has killed? There's so many people who have preached the same gospel. Do you understand? You see that the juices in us will just, there will be a turmoil within us. You know, how to fit and balance this whole thing. That's why when Paul was converted and he went to church, all the Christians ran away. Yeah, nobody wanted to be near him. He said, this guy, we've heard about how he's beating perhaps some of the churches he went to, he had been there before. With a whip and chains to imprison the Christians. Now he has come and he's looking for the pulpit to preach. Hallelujah. Amen. But only God can do that. Hallelujah. So we must be careful not to misrepresent God's love by diluting it with our own feelings and writing people off as though God has written them off. God does not write anybody off. Say amen. So this is the first thing that you want to drive home. And you don't have to take as much time as I have taken to drive it home. You can just state it that God loves you and state it seriously, and that is it. Amen. Number two is that our sins, man is sinful and is separated from God. So we cannot know and experience God's love and plan for our lives. Man is sinful and separated from God. So we cannot know and experience God's love for us. Hallelujah. So this is the second point that people must know. That man is sinful. Man is sinful, and our sin separates us from God. Hallelujah. Now, there is a beautiful verse in Isaiah chapter 59 and verse 1. Isaiah chapter 59 and verse 1. 1 and 2. It says, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save. Huh, I need to finish my sermon in the next few minutes. So, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save. Can you see that? Neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. Verse 2 says, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. Hallelujah. So it's saying that God's hand is not shortened. Do you see that it cannot save? You know, God's hand is not shortened that it cannot save. It means God can touch us, isn't it? Yeah. And his ears are not heavy that it cannot hear. It means God can hear us. But now, the verse is saying, KK, can you please put this chair between us? He says, now our sins, you see, is what has created, push it right between us. Our sins have separated us from him. Do you understand? So something has come between us. So God's hand is still the same length, but you have been pushed further away by your sins. Do you think you understand what I'm explaining? And the more sins there are, because if we put more chairs, then God will be even further away. Hallelujah. So can you understand that? So you can see that God's hand is not shortened. God can do many things. God would like to touch your life. God would like to bless you in many ways. But our sins separate us from God. Hallelujah. Now that relates to things here. Now, Romans chapter 3 and verse 23 is the other popular verse that can explain this very well, which is a verse that says that, behold, all have sinned. Romans 3 verse 23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Isn't it? All of us have sinned, and so we have fallen short of the glory of God. Which means that if the glory of God comes up to here, our sins have made us unable to attain to it. Isn't it? Our sins have kept us away from the glory of God. Hallelujah. And then the other verse is the consequence of this sin, do you understand, is in 6:23. So 3:23 says, all have sinned and fallen short. And then 6:23, now because they are both 23s, they can confuse you a little bit. But let me give you the formula. The formula you use to remember is just state the first one, which is the 3, states the condition. And the second one, which is the 6, states the penalty. Do you understand? Yeah. So now it says the wages of sin is death. Do you understand? But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Hallelujah. Are you guys benefiting from what I'm sharing with you at all? Right? So the wages of sin is death. So if somebody says, yeah, okay, so all have sinned, so what? Why don't we just stay like that? Since it's not one person anyway, it's all of us. Are you getting, why should we even bother with it?
Well, you explain that it's not safe to be in that state because the wages of sin is death. And this death is eternal separation from God. Hallelujah. There is a consequence to sin. When you sin, sin has wages. Hallelujah. So it says the wages of sin is death. So if we continue the way we are, then it will lead to eternal separation. Not only will it lead to an earthly separation from God, it leads also to an eternal separation. In other words, our sins have both earthly consequences and eternal consequences. The earthly consequences are like the one we read in Isaiah chapter 59, which says that God will not hear you. Do you understand? Yeah, God will not hear you. Sometimes people blame God when a lot of evil things happen and so on. But it's amazing how God is kept out of their lives throughout. Until something bad happens, then suddenly he also gets accused. Do you understand? It's like, why did you allow this to happen to me? Do you understand? But you see that people have lived their lives not caring about God at all. God is not in it. And we have just gone the way of our sins and have maximized the separation that exists between man and God. Hallelujah. So it says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life that comes through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Hallelujah. So then that itself becomes the third point that you want the person to understand. The third point that you want them to understand is how Jesus Christ bridges that gap between man and God. Hallelujah. So right there from that verse, it says, the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Hallelujah. The gift of God is through Jesus Christ. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. So that third point that you want them to have is that Jesus Christ is the only provision for man's sins. Jesus Christ is the only provision for man's sins. Okay? Yeah. And the verses you can use for that, one of them is this one right here, 6:23, which says, the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. The other one you can use is John chapter 14 and verse 6, where Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. Hallelujah. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Amen. So no one comes to God but by me. I am the way. Hallelujah. So if it is God you want to go to, then you better go through Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. If it is God you want to see, then you better go through Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. All the other religions, no one has said he is the way. Most of them you find saying, I'm one of the ways. Do you understand? But Jesus said, I am the way. I am the way. I am the truth. And I am the life. And no one comes to the Father but by me. Hallelujah. I think when you have a house, even if you have many entrances to the house, you reserve the right to say which one is the main entrance, which door people can come to your house through. You see, so once you have designated a door as this is the way people come to my house, when you are in your room and you find someone climbing up into your house some other way, even if he's President Obama, you call the police on him. Do you understand? Because you don't determine how you come to my house. You can't just come to me. I'm sitting in my living room. Then I see someone opening and really removing some of the windows at the top. Do you understand? And he has put a ladder up against my house and is climbing through and he says, hello, are you there? I'm coming to visit you. Excuse me. That's not how to come and visit me. If you want to visit me, you need to come through the door that I have prescribed and the door that I have provided. And the door that God has provided for people to come to him is through Jesus Christ. Are you getting it? So whatever Buddha, all these people, even if they are good people, find there, God has just not prescribed that that is the door. The door that God has provided is Jesus Christ. And he said, I am the way and I am the truth and I am the life. And no one comes to the Father but by me. Hallelujah. And we should believe it. Someone who has come from the Father, he has come from the house to tell us where the main door is. Why are you trying to argue with him? Are you getting it? You haven't been there before. You don't know what the mansion up there, you don't know what heaven looks like. And he has come from heaven to tell us, this is the map. No one gets into that place but by me. Hallelujah. And we need to be confident in that, even if you can't answer all the other questions. So are you saying that all these Muslims are going to hell? You don't even have to have an answer to that. You just have to know the door. And the door that said is the door. That's it. Hallelujah. That's like somebody asking, so are you saying all these other doors around the hotel don't open? I don't know. And it's not my job to check whether all these doors open. I just know that that's the main door. And that's open. And that's where they've put the sign, open. Do you understand? And so if it's this hotel you want to enter, my friend, this is the door. Go through here. And stop experimenting with all these other doors. And some people just take it upon themselves. They feel they must use their lifetime to experiment all the doors. You get, number one, your life may not be that long before you get to the front door. Do you understand? And number two, I mean, what do you gain? Okay, so this one comes and this one comes and this one comes. So what? Go through the main door and let it be easy for yourself. Hallelujah. So you need to explain that Jesus is the way. Hallelujah. And that is what people need to believe. And God does not beg people to believe that fact. Amen? That is the point at which people make the choice either to follow Christ or not. Hallelujah. You see, God is not begging people to be saved. God loves man and gives him a chance to be saved. Hallelujah. But God is not trying to sweep people into the kingdom of God who are not saved or who do not believe. Do you understand? There is something you must do. There is a part you must play, which is that you must exercise faith and believe. Hallelujah. You have to believe. And that's why the next verse you need to read when you're talking about this is Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8. Or maybe wait, skip that and let's add that to the next point. Okay, so that's point number three. Point number three is that Jesus Christ is God's only provision for man's sin. Okay, and we've got those three verses. Okay, we can add Romans chapter 5 verse 8. God commendeth his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So God's treatment of our sin and his treatment for our sin was to provide Jesus Christ to die for us. Amen? Amen. Then number four, that the fourth thing that you want, fourth point you want the person to know is that we must individually receive Christ Jesus as Savior and Lord. We must individually receive Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. Then we can know and experience God's love and plan for our lives. Hallelujah. Right. And the verse there is John chapter 1 and verse 12. John chapter 1 and verse 12. John chapter 1. And verse 12. And that says, but as many as received him, he gave them power to become sons of God. Now verse 11 says, he came to his own, but his own did not receive him. Do you see? He came to his own, but his own did not receive him. You see, his own received him not. Then verse 12 says, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Can I have an amen? Amen? So you can see that if God is giving you the power to become a son of God, then you obviously were not a son of God before that power was given, isn't it? Yeah. And so these people that he came to in verse 11, who did not receive him, they cannot be children of God if they have not been given the power to become children of God. Do you understand? So some people would wonder, that. So are we not all sons of God? No. We were all created by God. So that makes us creatures of God, yes, created by him. But the Bible says that there are certain people that God gave the power or the right or the opportunity or the privilege to become the sons of God. And the condition for that is that you must receive him. Hallelujah. So I can make a provision for you. You are locked out of a house, and the only way to get in is through this key. Hallelujah. But when the key is offered to you, you have to receive it. Isn't it? The key doesn't open the door by itself. You have to receive the key and apply it to the door. Otherwise, in spite of standing next to the key, you are still kept out of the door. Isn't it? Yeah. So it's not enough to know a lot of things about Christ. It's not enough even to attend a church and hear a lot about Christ. You need to apply this Christ to your life. Amen. By receiving him as your Lord and your Savior. To come and do what he came to do. Isn't it? Because the Bible says the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Christ. Isn't it? Then the other verse we read, John 3:16, it says that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So it looks like the receiving of Christ has something it does about your sins that allows you now to be able to qualify for eternal life. Isn't it? So that application has to be made. Christ has to be applied to your life to do what he came to do, which is that he would wash away your sins and clean you up. And this is a point that people really, this particular point is very important. People must understand, for anybody to be truly converted, he needs to understand clearly the concept of sin, that he is a sinner. It's not, that's different from good behavior. Do you understand? It's different from good manners. It's different from someone who is morally sound. It's different from someone who knows how to obey rules. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? We are talking about the nature of man inside that naturally produces evil. And that fountain has been turned off by an encounter with Christ. So that person has now been washed by the blood of Jesus. And then that person is now clean. Can I have an amen? I think you understand that, isn't it? So that point has to be very well made. It's not a point of condemnation. Nobody needs to be condemned by that. But you just have to make it clear that there's nothing you can benefit from if you don't receive it, even if it's offered to you. Hallelujah. You need to receive it, and that thing will now confer upon you the benefits that come from having it. Hallelujah. So Jesus Christ needs to be received on an individual basis. So it's not one person receives Christ for the whole family. Did you see? It's because sometimes you hear some people saying, I was born into a Christian family. That is true, but it doesn't make you a Christian. It just describes the environment into which you were born. Do you see? But it does not make you a Christian family. It's like if your shirt is in the laundry, it doesn't mean it's been washed. Isn't it? We need to take shirt by shirt and apply the detergent to it. It is shirt by shirt. Every shirt in the laundry must go in the washer and be washed by that detergent. Otherwise, it can stay in the laundry for 10 years. It's still not washed. It's still not clean. Even though it's sitting next to the Tide. Are you getting it? Every individual item has to go in the wash. So every person, every individual, because when the scripture was describing the sin, it says it's a condition for all. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Whether they've been to school or not, whether they are nice people or not, whether they talk loudly or not, whether they wear sunglasses or they don't wear sunglasses, their ears may be pierced or not, or their tongues may be pierced or not, they may have a whole thing through their nose or they don't have anything in their nose. It does not matter. That's not the point. The Bible says all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And so all must be washed by this blood that has been provided for salvation to occur. Hallelujah. What do you think? Is it real? Now, how does that washing happen? It's by faith. That's where the Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8 and 9 comes in. It says, for by grace are you saved through faith. For by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. It is not of works, lest any man should boast. Did you get it? He says, not for by grace are ye saved. Through what? Through what? Faith. Say faith. And that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Hallelujah. That means you can never be good enough to not need to be saved. Do you understand? There's nobody who is so good, he doesn't need to be saved. You get it? There's no one who is so well behaved that he doesn't need to be saved. For by grace are you saved, and it's through faith. So everyone must be saved through faith. Amen? Right. Then the final point is, how do I know that Christ is in my life? Okay. After you have brought the person to point number four, if they agree, you ask them, do you want to accept this Christ? If they agree, you can lead them in a sinner's prayer. Amen. And the sinner's prayer is simply that the Bible says that if we shall confess with our mouths the Lord Jesus and believe with our hearts that God raised him from the dead, then we will be saved, isn't it? So the two things that must come in the prayer is the confession with the mouth and the believing in the heart, isn't it? Or the believing in the heart and the subsequent confession with the mouth. That is why when the Ethiopian eunuch saw the water and asked Philip, can I not be baptized? And Philip didn't just assume that, well, since I've been talking to him, and he is now seeing the water and has expressed interest, he should be baptized. No, Philip wanted to be sure. So Philip told him, well, it's true. If you believe, you can be baptized then. But you need to believe. You know, then the guy said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. So when he stated what he believed clearly, then Philip felt, okay, then based on that confession, I think I can now put you in the water. Are you getting what I'm saying? Now, we are putting a lot of people in the water and they haven't said anything. Isn't it? We are putting a lot of people in the water because they have been born into a Christian environment. They've been born into a home where everybody is a Christian. Or they have been coming to the church for some time. Or they've been riding in the chariot for a while. Do you see? So we can't just be putting people in the water just because we saw water or just because they expressed interest. But just to be sure, we need to state it clearly. Philip said, yeah, there's water, but it's not for everybody. Baptism is not for everybody. Baptism is for people who believe. It must mean something. You're going down as an old man and you're coming back as a new man. So if you have not agreed to do that, you can't just go in the water. Otherwise, it would just be a swimming lesson. And the man opened his mouth and said clearly, I believe, and said what he believes, that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Then Philip says, okay, since you now believe, let's go into the water. That is what changes it from swimming to baptism. Amen. Can I have an amen? Amen? The believing element, that belief, they must believe. Hallelujah. So when they have believed and you have said that prayer with them, and the person is now saved, how do they know that Christ is in their lives? Then there are two last verses. One is Revelation 3:20 that says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. Okay, that's in Revelation 3:20. But the one we should read is 1 John chapter 5 from verse 11 to 13. 1 John chapter 5, verse 11 to 13. And that one says, and this is the record that God has given to us eternal life. And this life is in his Son. And verse 12. He that hath the Son hath life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Do you see? These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God. This is what the guy said. I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Isn't that what he said? The Philip's friend. Isn't that what he said? Yeah. And he said, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. Hallelujah. Amen. And that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. Can I have an amen? So you ask me, how do I know that by this simple prayer I prayed, I have received eternal life? Because God said, if you believe on the name of the Son of God, you should know that you have eternal life.
And it's all by faith, isn't it? That's why that verse in Ephesians 2, 8 and 9 is very critical, because it connects what you're saying to what they will experience. It's what allows the new starters to be, because they need to have faith to believe that a simple prayer by the side of the road, a simple prayer on a plane, a simple prayer in the bathroom of a McDonald's is sufficient to translate them from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. Hallelujah. And it's by faith. They have to believe. They have to believe. Can I have an amen? So do you know how to lead someone to Christ now? Do you know what to tell them? Right? Number one, you want them to know that God loves them, isn't it? And number two, what? Our sins have separated us from God, isn't it? Yeah, and people don't have to look far at all to find sin. Everybody, when you ask them if they have sinned before, you see that everybody is guilty of it. Hallelujah. So our sins separate us from God, isn't it? And that separation is both here on earth, and it also separates us from God eternally, isn't it? But number three is what? Jesus is the only provision that God has made. So you don't have to be separated from God, whether here on earth or in the life to come. You don't have to be. You see, then number four, you need to apply Jesus Christ to your life by receiving him in a simple prayer, which we can pray right now. And then number five, he said that if you believe on his name, you have eternal life. So as we have prayed right now, you have eternal life. Don't you think that a person can be saved properly by this understanding? Amen. And I gave you all the other verses so you can have a broader understanding and scope of what you are saying. Do you get it? And then you can write down, if the person says, give me some verses to read or something, you can write these verses down. So I suggest that for under each of these points that I gave you at least one or two verses. So you can choose one of them and memorize it. Do you understand? Just choose one of those verses that you can. Everybody knows John 3:16, so you add that one is already pre-memorized. You see, so you know that one already. So now you just need a second one. You see, which is the one about our sins being separating us, isn't it? The wages of sin is death. That one you can do the 3:23 and the 6:23, and the 6:23 will give you advance credit for the next point. Isn't it? So one verse you memorize will kill two birds. Isn't it? Because free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. You see? So you take that and then you have the verses over there and you find that you'll be an effective witness for God. Hallelujah. Amen. You will meet many people who have other complicated questions. But I tell you, I have found out that many of the complicated questions, they don't necessarily lead to a person's salvation. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Many of the complex questions people have, they don't, and they are not required, they are not necessary for their salvation. Some people will say, what about the other parts of the Bible that were not written? They said something called Apocrypha. You see, all these complex things, you ask them, how will that lead to your salvation? Do you understand? The key things you need for your salvation is what has been written here. Actually, let me show you a verse as I close that says exactly that. And then we'll close. John, do you want to know that verse?
Yes.
Are you sure?
Yes.
You're not going to get angry?
No.
Okay. All right. John chapter 20. John chapter 20. Look at the last but one verse. Okay. Let's start reading from verse 29. Jesus said unto Thomas, because thou hast... Okay, verse 30. John chapter 20 and verse 30. John chapter 20 and verse 30. It says, and many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. Can you see that? Okay, so verse 31 says, but these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you will have life through his name. So what he's saying is that what you need to believe in his name so that you'll be saved, that has been written. So all the things you are worrying about, they may be true and they may be valid concerns and they may be true, but the thing is, it's not relevant to your salvation. I think that's easy to understand, isn't it? Yeah. So you just remember, this is the last verse in John chapter 20. Do you get it? And then the last verse of John chapter 21 also says a similar thing. Okay? It says that there are many other things. The last verse of John chapter 21, which is verse 25. John 21, verse 25. It says, there are also many other things which Jesus did, that which if they should be written, everyone, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. Can you see that? Yeah. So when you people start to fuss about so many questions and so many complicated things, the Bible is not complete, this and that, there are other books, and what about this book? So you, look, tell the person that the Bible itself does not even dispute the fact that there could have been more written. Do you understand? But if that much more was written, you see, even your school textbook, you cannot finish reading it. You want to add all of this before you are saved. So God has summarized it, and God has provided for us the main things you need to believe. And that's what the previous verse says. Pastor Munene, can you give it to us again? Verse 31 of chapter 20. Chapter 20, verse 31. He says that all these have been written in order that you may believe. Where is it? Okay, but these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ. So what has been written is enough for believing that Jesus is the Christ. What has been written is enough that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. Hallelujah. So that these are the reasons why God is going to look people right in the face and send them to hell. Because there really isn't any excuse. Amen. God has provided what it takes for anyone who genuinely wants to be saved to be saved. Amen. And so if you are not saved, you don't have an excuse. Amen. God will send them to hell. That is the truth. Hallelujah. Anyway, I think it's enough for the day. Stand to your feet and let's bring the service to a close. Amen. So please, I want to encourage you, go through this thing, okay? When you go home, go through it. Go through it. Go through it. Make sure you understand it thoroughly. Every Christian should know this on their fingertips. You should know this. You should be ready to say this and be able to explain it in this sequence to anybody at any time. Do you understand? Yeah, you should be sharp on something like that. And it should be focused. Don't go away from it. And so, okay, what about Muhammad and everything? Always try and find a way of bringing the person back to the main road. Because this is the main road. If they can stay on the main road, you can go straight shot to salvation and they'll be saved. And tell them after that, you will learn about Muhammad and all these people. Do you understand? Because after all, I'm still learning about Muhammad and all these people. But after I've secured myself. Okay. Hallelujah. All right, let's bow our heads and pray. Father, we thank you for today and thank you for everything you have taught us. Thank you for the word of God. Thank you, O God, for the month of evangelism. We are praying, Lord, as a church and as individuals that you will use us in this month. We pray that each of us will be used by God to win a soul. Please, Lord, lead each of us to someone you are already working on. Someone you have brought to the brink of salvation. Someone you have brought to the place where what we know can answer their questions. Where what you have taught us can be relevant to them. Where they can be led to Christ. Oh God, we pray that we will all have that opportunity in this coming week in the name of Jesus. Bless us, oh God. Bless us, O God, with the opportunity. We pray, Father, for our loved ones. We pray for colleagues at work. We pray, Father, that you begin to draw them, work on them, O God. Our neighbors and people we meet every day, work on them, Lord, and draw them, because you say that no one can come to you except someone whom you are drawing. And so we pray that you will draw them. Let your spirit brood over them. Let the Holy Spirit descend strongly and mightily upon their lives and cause them, Lord, to begin to turn their hearts towards you in the name of Jesus Christ. We pray, Father, for your blessing, that we will be used as instruments to bear fruit for your kingdom. Thank you, Father, for your blessing in Jesus' name. You know, before we close, maybe you're here this morning and you want to rededicate your life to Christ, or you want to give your life to him. I want to give you that opportunity to do so in Jesus' name. If you just say with me, everybody, just say, Lord Jesus, I thank you for dying for me. I believe you saved me for a purpose. And I thank you, Lord, for my salvation. I offer my life to you this day, that you may use me to reach other people for you. I want to be an agent of salvation. I want to be an instrument of salvation. I want many, many, many people to be saved through me. I want you to use me, Lord, to bring many people to Christ. Thank you, Jesus, for that privilege. Thank you for your blessing. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. You may be seated, please. Hallelujah.